This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Brent Burns, Carolina Hurricanes defenseman, in 15 minutes. He is an animal enthusiast. He's got animals everywhere. He received antelopes as a gift from his teammates for his 1,000th game.
I got to ask. Gifted him antelope?
I got to ask. I got to ask questions.
An antelope. You sure it wasn't cantaloupe?
According to what I'm reading.
Okay.
For his 1,000th game, his teammates bought him two antelopes to add to his animal collection. That's a gift. That's something I never thought of.
Yeah.
My son's birthday is today. I have two children.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
My son turns 24 today. And I was racking my brain what to get him. Who knew?
Should have bought him an antelope.
I should have bought him an antelope. One antelope. I wonder how much they cost. We'll find out. Maybe Brent knows that. We'll find out.
Where do you put it?
What do you mean? He's got a
farm.
He's got a ranch with all sorts of animals. He's got wildebeest.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. We'll talk to Brent about this.
I cannot wait.
We have a wall of sound to do in the meantime.
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, we'll get to Max Pacioretty in a minute. Tiger Woods played what some people are calling his last competitive round at St. Andrews today at the Open Championship. I get the sense that as long as it's not 10 years until they're back at St. Andrews, and I don't think it will be, I think Tiger will probably play there again, but because of, you know, his body breaking down as it does, you never know. And here's Tiger on maybe this being the last time.
I don't know if I'll be physically able to play another British Open here at St. Andrews. Certainly feel like I'll be able to play more British Opens, but I don't know if I'll be around, you know, when it comes back around here. So the warmth and the ovation at 18, it got to me. And just the walk, you know, I felt the guys stop there off the tee on 18. And it was just incredible. This amount of understanding and respect from all the people that are involved in this event that come out and support it, the players, the nods I was getting as the players were going out. I looked over there and, you know, Rory gave me a tip of the cap. JT did the same. There's something to it that's just different.
As Tiger was walking up the 18th fairway, Rory had just teed off number one. And so there was a little bit of an opportunity for Rory to give a little tip of the cap to Tiger. Rory and JT have become really close with Woods. So I think it hit them also a little bit differently. Plus, I think we all understand that for this generation of PGA Tour player, Tiger was... I mean, he's all of their idols. See, Max Homa, who shot whatever Max Homa shot yesterday. Mm-hmm. Homa went to Twitter and said, it was like the greatest day of my golfing life. I'm like, wait, dude, you've won a few times. You won his event.
Yeah.
In February a couple of years ago. But it was the first time he'd ever been paired with Tiger in an event. It was, these guys, man, they grew up idolizing Woods. So good for all of them. All right, the Big 12 meetings and ACC meetings, by the way, are next week. We will do the show Wednesday and Thursday from Charlotte. And I'm looking forward to the atmosphere there. Because I know it's different than if it was 2 weeks ago when everything, all the wounds were fresh. But Sonny Dykes, TCU football coach, on the state of college football.
All of a sudden, as super conferences start to evolve and the haves have more and the have-nots have less, you know, I don't want to see people start losing college football, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. And, you know, everybody talks about scheduling and how, you know, everybody needs to schedule within the Power Five. I think our job needs to be to look after everybody, not just the Power Five, but you know, a lot of 1AA programs or FCS programs, they need
a check.
They need that check. They need those funds to be able to run their program. And so it's like anything else. I think sometimes we've got to stop and not just think about ourselves, but what's best for college football, what's best for those student athletes, because I think we lost our way at some point and quit doing what was good for the players, and I think that's why we're where we are today.
I mean, I have nothing but laughs for that. I have nothing but laughs. Yes, I agree. I 100% agree with Sonny Dykes. I mean,
as do I.
Right? 100% agree with that. Except, of course they don't really... Like, the SEC and the Big Ten, they're here to make money. And they're here to make money sometimes at the expense of you. So, if we are headed where some people say we are headed, to even a larger Big Ten and a larger SEC, they're not going to play anybody outside of those two leagues. They're just going to play themselves. And maybe they'll have a playoff against each other.
Yeah.
There might be 40 teams at the top level, and that's it. And then it'll be up to everybody else to take care of the rest of college football. Look, I'm not slamming it. It's just inevitable that this is where it seems we're headed. And the reason why Oklahoma and Texas left wasn't because they had some great desire to be in the SEC. Money. Southern Cal and UCLA were staring at a Pac-12 that was going to give them maybe not even the $35 million they received last time. And the number, the check that they're going to draw from the Big Ten is probably going to be in the neighborhood, if not north of $100 million annually. I get it. It was stupid from a culture standpoint, but we all know why Maryland left the ACC for the Big Ten, right? Cash! So, Maryland's going to stink in football in relation to their league, and they'll be okay in basketball. But ultimately, they're winning at the 15th and the 31st of every month.
Yeah.
Because they're just getting paid. Paid. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. All right. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Here's what I did not know about Max Pacioretty and Brent Burns. I did not know that they had beef. I didn't know. So here's Pacioretty, who will play with Burns. Again, he sort of lets everybody in on the fact that, yeah, we had an issue.
I mean, there was a lot of animosity between me and Burnsy. In fact, last night I got a FaceTime call from an unknown number, or one that wasn't in my phone book. I had my wife look it up, and it was actually Burnsy. So I called him back, and we had a little bit of a virtual meeting, first time meeting each other. And we spoke about how one time we got into it pretty hard and gave each other some cross checks. And it's exciting going in with a guy. I think, as being an older guy, you don't want to go in there and really step on anyone's toes. This team's had a lot of success without me. I'm looking to just come in and be part of the puzzle, not be too demanding or anything. So going in with Burnsy, is nice because we can kind of, you know, work off each other in that sense. And just it helps us get situated with the group a little bit quicker, I think. And playing for Pete DeBoer and Steve Spott, they tell me every day Burnsy stories. And then as soon as I went, they found out about the trade. They both, or they said, you know, you're going to love this guy. He's a great team guy. And I'm really excited to play with him as well.
Apparently, Brent Burns cross-checked Max Pacioretty in the face.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's getting to know you. So, yeah, so they FaceTimed. They got they cleared the air. Good for them. Good for them. And I can't wait to talk to Brent Burns about animals. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's coming up next. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah,
Brent Burns.
I'm looking forward to it.
Brent Burns, Hurricanes defenseman, will join us next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
NHL free agency period began on Wednesday, and the Carolina Hurricanes sort of dipped into that a little bit. But the bigger news was the first transaction they were able to execute, which was the acquisition of defenseman Brent Burns from the San Jose Sharks. And he joins us now on the Adam Gold Show. Look, you have been pulled in 40 different directions. You've got an RV. You were on your way back from, I know, Toronto. So thank you very much for carving out some time, man. How you doing?
No, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you. It's it's been a crazy week. It's been, you know, a lot of fresh energy and excitement, and we're really looking forward to coming out to Raleigh and meeting everybody there and meeting the teammates, and really looking forward to it.
When will you come to town, whether it's to scout for a house, or when's the first time you will come to Raleigh?
Yeah, it's pretty quick. We're heading in there tomorrow night, actually.
All right.
We're going to come in for a couple days and come in, check out some houses and schools and try to figure out the lay of the land and everything. And us hockey guys, we usually have a pretty good routine on game days, so try to find out everything so I don't get lost come near the season there.
Brent Burns is joining us here. Do you need room for your antelopes? We're going to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, no, it's definitely become a big passion of mine, the outdoors. And, you know, I think that's one of the big things about North Carolina. I'm really looking forward to it. I know there's a lot of different activities outdoor there. And, it's exciting. I think that's part of, you know, all that extra energy you get when you're moving into a new town and a new team and just learning a new place. I think I was in San Jose for 11 years, so, and then I was in Minnesota for 8 before that. You get into these strong routines that you're doing the same thing all the time, and sometimes it's really good to be forced to get out of your comfort zone and do something new.
Brent Burns is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. You'd been there for a long time. You still have 3 more years left on your contract. How hard was it to really, for you to make the decision that this was something that you wanted to do, or how much choice did you have in the matter?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to leave a great place. You know, we loved San Jose. The people there were amazing. The city, the team. We had some really good runs there for a long time, mm-hmm. and just some really, really good people that, you know, have made me the person and player that I am today. You know, when Doug Wilson brought me in, it was a great time in our life, and our kids grew up there. And so, yeah, it's definitely difficult. It's a sad day to leave a lot of really, really good friends that we had there in the organization, outside the organization, some teammates that I played with for a long time. So, yeah, that's definitely tough. But, you know, I think in the hockey world, it's a very small community. I don't know too many of the guys very well, but from playing against them, from playing with other guys that have gone there, you just hear so many rave reviews about the city, the team, the organization. It's so from that standpoint, it's not a difficult decision. But you know, when you're leaving your home and everything away and the people that you've grown so close with, it's always hard. It's no different than anybody that's worked at a company for a long time, mm-hmm. and you have those relationships. And even though the opportunity is so strong on the other side and so exciting, it's just still tough to leave. So those days when it does happen, it's the full range of craziness.
Right.
You know, that next couple hours, it was like, it felt like 2 weeks gone by, and it's your mind's racing. You start thinking about houses and schools, and sports for the kids, and there's so many other things. And you know, we've always you don't really think about it when other guys come to your team and what they're really going through. And you know, now I forgot it. It was 11 years ago when I got traded. So you forget how much pressure goes on your wife and how much work they do for it to make it easier on us. And you know, for me, I'm going to go in and I'm going to have 25 best friends right away, and it's going to be a pretty easy transition. But you know, she's doing all the work, she's doing all the moving and figuring out kids, where kids are going to go, schedules and all that stuff. And that's it's always the people behind the scenes that make everything work, and we just get to go out and play a game we love. And it's but yeah, I don't know if she's sleeping too well right now.
did you talk to Brett Hedekin, who does, for those people who don't know, the former Hurricanes defenseman who won a Stanley Cup here in 06, is now the TV analyst for the Sharks and is also pretty good friends with Carolina's head coach, Rod Brind'Amour. Did you talk to Brett at all about Rod or about the area?
Yeah, there's been a couple guys that I've spoke to before and after. You know, there's a lot of guys I knew that have played there and have gone through through Raleigh. And like I said, that's what made it easy, because all these guys had such positive things to say about the city, living there, the fans, the team. I mean, obviously, we know from playing against them the last couple of years how good this team is and you know, how young, hard they play. It's a tough building. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing there, because I know going in there as a visiting team, it's a hard place to play. It's loud. It's crazy. The team plays hard, fast. So it's exciting. That's the stuff that makes it easy. You know, for me, being where I am now and just looking forward to coming in there, meeting everybody and joining a strong group already. And, you know, just it's very motivating. I'm really looking forward to it.
I had no idea. We're talking with Brent Burns, new Hurricanes defenseman, a new forward, Max Pacioretty. I had no idea that you guys had a run-in. So,
well, when I played in San Jose, he was in Vegas. I think everybody had run-ins with each other. We played against each other so many times, and you know, the rivalry was just so strong, and the fans battled each other,
yeah.
And it was just a strong rivalry. You know, it's always. I think that's one of the best things about our sport. It's you see guys battle so hard out on the ice, and then after the game, they can talk and have a beer in the hallway. And, you know, that's the way hockey is. It's always been that way, and so it was fun to see him come here and you know, to have that first conversation. I didn't really know him other than playing against him and battling with him, and obviously he's such a great player. So we had a lot of run-ins on the ice, and yeah, it was pretty cool to see that he's joining us.
Who from the Sharks are you looking forward to drilling against the wall when you play San Jose?
Well, I think the only answer is everybody, I think. You know, that's part of our game. It's like, it's no different than playing mini sticks with your brother growing up. Those are usually your hardest battles.
And, right.
You know, you have that deep family feeling while you're there and when you're there playing and afterwards. But when you're playing the game, it's game time. So it's always been that way. That's why I think makes our sport so special and the relationship you have in it, because you just know it's when it's time to play, it's everything's on the table.
Brent Burns is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. One more hockey question, then I got to ask you about the Antelopes. I'm sorry. When I spoke to Brett Hedekin about you, I asked for a scouting report. More on Brent Burns, the person. I've watched you play. I know who you are as a player. He said, conditioning freak, total pro. So you have played now 8 straight years. You haven't missed a game in 8 years. How many of those games did you play that maybe you might have should have taken off?
I don't know. None of them. I think that's, I think that's part of, getting older in the league and going through it. And I've said it many times, but, there were so many players that when I came to San Jose, I just learned so much from. And, you have guys like Jumbo and Patty Marleau, who I still have to chat with because I know he was a Hurricane, even though it was only 24 hours or so. But, yes. You see these guys and how they battled and how they took care of themselves. And as a younger guy, it just – you had no other option but to do the same, is to push yourself. And, I think when you look back at your career, it goes so fast. And, when you start missing games, you never get them back. So, for me, it's, there's a lot of luck in that, yeah. and playing a lot of games and making it through a season. But, people always ask me, like, oh, how many goals do you want to score? Like little kids at the camps that we do here in Texas now and with my son skating with, they all want to know, like, how many points do you want to get in the year? And, how many goals are you going to score? For me, it's never been about that. It's always – I always look at playing every game. Just play every game hard. And, I always think about when I was a kid and going to a Leafs game, I'd go to one or two a year. That was it. And, you have your favorite players. And, you don't really – when you're a kid, you're not really looking at the roster and thinking, oh, he's been hurt. So I always think it'd be tough if a kid's come to the game and he's wearing a jersey with my name on it, number, and I'm not playing that night. So it's just something that is always stuck in there. And if I can get out there and, the trainers, they're the guys behind the scene that make that happen usually. And, so they do all the hard work. And if I can play, then I want to play. I don't want to miss a game. And it's but that comes from being around those guys that I've been lucky to play with.
Brent Burns is with us here. By the way, you wore number 88 in San Jose. Martin Natchez right now is wearing number 88. If you can't work out a transaction, do you have another number you are willing to don?
Yeah, no, it's, I think that's like, for me, obviously it's been such a special number for me for a long time, but, he's earned that. It's his number here. And, I'm coming to a new team. So that's his number. And, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I haven't figured it out yet. And,
okay.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, those are things that, as hockey guys, most of the guys, I would say, take a lot of pride in. Every game you're getting ready, and you take pride in putting that jersey on and wearing that crest, and putting that number on is usually you see it as you're putting it on. So I've never really taken that lightly. So I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay. All right, now to the Antelope thing. For your 1,000th game, your teammates got you two Antelopes. Were you surprised? Did they bring them to the arena?
No, I had no idea. It was when you play your 1,000th game in the NHL, it's always been a fun thing to get your teammates something really nice and something special and something that they're always going to have. And with us having a ranch here, we got two female Gemsbuck, which was just unbelievable from the team. And yeah, now we have a pretty nice herd. It's up around 20, and it's doing strong. So it's pretty special because now that's something it's just going to keep growing, and it'll always be there. So it's something special for us for sure.
Well, are you gonna you're not going to bring any of those animals? You're going to bring the snakes to
no,
Raleigh?
The only creatures I'm bringing are the three kids.
Okay.
They give us enough work. We've got we've got everything here in Texas taken care of, and it's always been it's an awesome place to come during the summer, and a huge part of the getaway from hockey, and it's a fun thing after my training is done, and we get to go relax outside and spend some time in the outdoors. We won't bring anything down there.
Well, maybe Natchez will give you 88 if you give him an antelope. I don't know. Maybe he wants or a wildebeest.
They're pretty awesome animals. I don't know if he want one of those running around in his living room though.
But it's true.
But if he does, we could talk for sure.
My wife has 4 horses. So if you ever have a Jones just to get around large 4-legged animals, you're more than welcome to come muck a stall with
me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my daughter, she was riding for a little bit, and I've actually never been on a horse.
Neither have I.
I've always wanted to do. A little nervous, though.
Yeah, they're
animals.
They're unpredictable. Congratulations. I should congratulate us. It's going to be exciting to watch you play. Brent, I appreciate your time.
No, thank you very much for having me, and we're really looking forward to coming down and joining the squad.
Excellent. Thanks, Brent. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. Brent Burns, New Carolina Hurricanes defenseman.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.